Hello and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello.
You all right?
I'm not bad, are you?
Yeah, not too bad. I've had an incredible week in many ways.
Have you?
But I found out something this week that blew my mind.
Okay.
But I'll tell you a bit more about that in a little while. How's your week been?
Ups and downs.
Ups and downs?
Ups and downs. I've had
Okay, well, give us an up.
Up is I had some really good luck. A really big stroke of luck.
What, have you won a lot of money?
No.
Because you've not said anything?
No, it's quite anticlimactic. But I only got the good luck following a bad dose of bad luck.
Oh, so you had an up and a down in a one single event?
I did, yeah.
Okay, well, talk me through it.
I was at work and I basically lost quite an expensive piece of equipment.
Okay, now just remind us what you do for a living.
I'm a postie.
You're a postie. So, I mean, when you say you lost it, what? You lost your sack? I mean, what what have you lost? Did you lose your van? You didn't lose the cat?
No.
No,
the cat's fine.
So I'm trying to think what expensive piece of equipment a postman. I'm not being derogatory about the job, by the way.
No, you shouldn't be either.
It's a fine job, and without postman, we'd be in trouble.
You would be.
I'm just wondering what the expensive bit of kit is.
It's the scanner that they give you to scan all the parcels with.
Oh, right. Okay. Yes.
Basically,
the sort of smart device.
Yeah. What happened was I had it clipped to my waist. And I'm carrying a big, heavy thing of mail.
Yeah.
So when you suddenly lose a small amount of weight, you don't really notice. And I was wearing headphones at the time, which means I didn't even hear it. But it fell off.
Are you allowed to wear headphones? Is that something that is in the rule book?
I think.
Because I see my postman. He's got big headphones on, and he's a good postman. He says hello. I've got a very friendly association with him. But I often wonder. I wonder if that's within the rules of the postman law book.
I think actually it is against the rules. So let's pretend I wasn't and didn't just say that. So,
okay.
I wasn't wearing headphones. Oops. I was just not concentrating.
I bet you wish you'd won some money now because you might be unemployed this time next week.
So anyway, I was in the pub because these
you were in the what?
I was in the pub.
Oh, pub.
Yeah.
A nice grown-up word.
I'm trying to swear less on the podcast.
Oh, is that a new thing? We're going to swear less.
I'll try to. So I was basically
you're in the shit, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the shit because they're quite expensive, these scanners. And I was basically told, listen, unless you find this thing, you're probably going to be in quite a bit of
trouble. How much are they worth?
I don't know.
Because are you not doing a little scam here? Oh, I've lost it. Yeah, no, I've lost it. Oh, dreadful.
No. I think they are worth quite a lot of money, these things. And we shouldn't really be losing them. But basically, I decided, right, I don't want to be in trouble. So I will go out in my car and look for this thing.
Oh, okay. So you're giving up your own time, using your own petrol.
Yep.
To try and find a lost piece of kit. It's a very noble response.
And the only thing I knew for certain was I lost it between point A and point B, so it's got to be in this vicinity somewhere.
Okay.
And that's an entire large road. It could be anywhere.
So it's just one road, not a whole route.
No, it was only. I definitely knew I lost it on one road.
Okay, because your route's about 10 miles, isn't it?
Yeah, but I walk about 10 miles a day.
So if you'd lost that within the whole route,
I'd have been screwed.
Okay, so one street, that narrows it down.
So I basically then started walking. I thought, I'm going to be out for hours looking for this thing.
This is like the worst episode of Sherlock Holmes I've ever seen.
Isn't it? So that was the bad luck, by the way, losing the thing.
Okay.
It was very unfortunate. It could have happened to anyone. It just fell off me.
What's the disciplinary reaction?
I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know. I didn't want to find out either.
No.
So I decided to go.
Because you would have had to admit wearing headphones as well. When you sit in front of the disciplinary panel and they say, well, let's go through the motions of how you lost it. Surely you heard it hit the ground.
I would have said I was whistling to myself. Happy postman.
Whistling.
Yeah, singing away.
I think as a customer, I would find that more annoying than seeing you wearing headphones.
So I was about 10 minutes into the search, and I'm combing the area, looking at every step. I'm trying to retrace exactly the route I took. If I took any shortcuts, walked across any lawns, which you shouldn't do as well. Shut up, Ben.
Honestly, I mean, is there anything you do in this job that's within the rules?
Not really. So anyway, I then bumped into someone who was out just doing something on his car in his driveway. He said to me, you're right there, mate. You look like you've lost something.
Are you still in your postman's livery?
I was, because I thought people might not take kindly to essentially a stranger just sort of walking up and down their drives looking for something. I thought if I'm wearing the garb, then, you know, they'll think, oh, it's just the postman. So I said, yeah, I have lost something. And I explained to him. And he said, oh, I didn't see quite what happened, but I'm sure earlier on I saw someone across the road pick up something that looked about the size of the thing you're looking for and hand it into a house over there.
Okay, that's a very helpful member of the general public.
Yeah, and it was an amazing stroke of luck that he just happened to be outside tinkering with his car at the exact moment I came around looking for it.
Okay.
So then I went and knocked on the door, and sure enough, a lady opens the door and says, I've got something for you.
I bet this happens to a lot of postmen.
It's the first time it's ever happened, let me tell you. And she gave me the scanner back, and it made my day.
Wow.
So I think when I'm back at work next week, they might be getting a little box of chocolates each.
I was going to ask it about a reward.
Yeah, because they saved my bacon.
Yeah.
But the other problem was, someone had very kindly handed this thing into the nearest house, but unless I'd bumped into those two people, I would never have found it because it was inside someone's house.
I mean, that is an amazing bit of luck.
Yeah.
I mean, it's almost like the post gods were smiling upon you. Hermes was...
Oh, no, we don't talk about the competitors.
Hang on, we found out who the patron saint of posties was a couple of weeks ago, didn't we?
And would you believe it? I've forgotten.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Well, no, we were talking about patron saints a couple of weeks ago. You were not only helped by the patron saints of postal workers who we've forgotten,
yep,
but also Saint Anthony, the one who lost the...
Oh,
did you,
yeah.
Did you do the whole turnaround, touch your toes thing?
I didn't. I would argue if the postal gods were smiling on me, I wouldn't have lost the damn thing in the first place. But there you go.
Well, that's an incredible bit of luck. It's not very often luck like that happens in life,
is it?
That have you ever had anything else happen to you like that? Or is this the first time in your life that Lady Luck has been smiling upon you like this?
I think so. It felt like a real win because I never get luck like this. I went out of the house, got in the car and drove off to look for this thing. And I thought, there's no chance I'll find this. No chance at all. I found it in 10 minutes.
I think the only thing I can equate this to, and it's not the same. It's not the same. But when I was a kid, I had a favourite pair of gloves. You know?
Okay.
As kids, you have favourite. And they were like cycling gloves. They were rally gloves.
Does that mean you had multiple pairs of gloves and these were your favourite ones?
I had the rally gloves.
Uh-huh.
And then I had like the school woolly ones. You know, like just normal woolly gloves. But the rally ones, like they had sort of your... Like, I don't know what you call them, plastic bits of protection on, you know, for when you're out on your rally chopper.
Okay.
And you're at gear three.
Like grip?
they're on the sort of back side of the hand, not on the palm.
Oh, that seems redundant.
Well, no, because if you fall off and you're dragging your knuckles along the floor, then you're protected, right?
Okay.
But I never really used them on the bike that much.
Just day-to-day walking around dragging your knuckles.
Yeah, but they were more my superhero gloves.
Okay.
When I put them on, I felt like Batman.
Okay,
Batman had sort of these leather gloves, didn't he? But
yeah.
these were like superhero gloves.
So where does the luck come into it?
Well, I lost one, and I was gutted. Absolutely gutted.
That's right. All right. You could have done some sort of Michael Jackson tribute act.
Yeah. Well, I think I still wore one when I was being the superhero.
Right.
Well, because it was still a superhero's glove.
Oh, so you didn't give up the superhero game until you...
No. The superhero game continued because I had like my own little bat cave.
Did that mean you had half the powers because you were missing one
glove?
Yeah,
yeah. And the thing was, I was Batman, but I had one glove and a Superman cape. So I wasn't really Batman. I did have like a Lone Ranger mask.
No, you were a maniac in a cape and a glove.
I was 7 or 8. Come on. It's not like I was doing this in my teens.
Fair enough.
I mean, I might have done it once or twice. Anyway, I lost this and it was weeks. We'd had lots of snow. It was February and we'd had loads of snow. And I thought this glove was gone forever, but I wouldn't allow this other, the one left to be thrown out.
Right.
And then when all the snow had melted and weeks had gone by, I'm walking to school and there it was on a wall. Somebody had obviously found it under the snow and put it on a wall. Like
what is that with people doing that?
Well, putting things on walls.
No, specifically putting gloves on railings and walls and stuff.
Well, I think it's the thing to do. If I find something on the floor, like a scarf or a glove, I'll put it on a wall. I don't know why. I think it's an inbred thing.
I just don't know who keeps putting them there. It's you, isn't it?
Well, no, it's wherever somebody loses any item of clothing, I think, even up to a coat. I think anything from glove to coat, within that category, if you find it, stick it on the nearest wall. I think the thinking is that it possibly will belong to the person in, or at least in the vicinity of that house.
Yeah.
Which it might not be the case. Like my glove, it was very different. It was a completely different road.
But the problem is, if that person comes back roughly like I was,
yeah,
looking in the area they think they lost it,
yeah,
they're not going to be looking on walls. They're going to be thinking it's on the floor. So you're not helping.
But you don't walk around just with your eyes fixed on the floor,
do
you?
You do if that's why you've dropped something.
No, but don't you take in the whole area. I mean, are you walking around like the Hunchback of Notre Dame, just eyes down, not able to look up? And, you know, you're more likely to see it if it's sitting on a wall, because it's out the corner of your eye, something sitting on a wall is out of place.
Maybe.
You're going to notice it, aren't you?
Maybe.
So, I mean, if somebody had put your scanner on a wall, you would have found it a lot quicker than I mean, you were lucky, but it's in someone's house. Someone's handed it into a house. If they just put it on that wall, you would have had less hassle. You would have probably found it. How many times did you walk past that house on the search?
3 times.
So exactly. Had it been on the wall, you'd have found it first time.
Yeah.
Not a problem.
Well, this is the other weird one. I don't want to push my luck, but I wondered if I hadn't met that bloke and if I hadn't, because I would have got it back still.
Yeah.
Eventually. It wouldn't have been the day I got it back, which was crucial.
The woman in the house who handed it back to you, without prying too much, because again, there must be rules about, there must be like data protection rules here.
Yeah.
But was she of a particular vintage?
No.
Younger lady?
Younger lady.
Okay. I'm just thinking, yeah, okay. I don't know why I'm thinking like nice little old lady who'd phone the post office. You know, or go down the local post office. Oh, dearie, I found this. I just wanted to hand it in.
No. She even said to me at the time, I knew you'd get this back eventually, but I was just glad to get it back the same day so I could return it.
It sounds, if you don't mind me saying, it sounds a little bit creepy. I knew you'd get this back eventually.
Well, because she knew she'd see me, is what she meant.
Oh, I see what you mean. Like she was going to send it on some like massive, like she'd set up some sort of caper for you to follow. Like some sort of clue-based game for you to find it.
But what I was going to say was, without pushing my luck, if I got a disciplinary or into any trouble for it, and then the next day I got it back, would you be able to say, now can we retract my disciplinary? Because here it is.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the fact of the matter is that you'd lost it.
Yeah.
So the disciplinary would surely still hold, even though you got it back.
I don't know.
That's a very interesting question.
It is, isn't it?
And you'd have to probably do some sort of degree in employment law to answer that specific point.
I think I'll just count myself lucky I got the damn thing back.
So my week's had ups and downs as well.
Yeah,
my week's have been... I mean, the downs were my football team.
Oh, the Arsenal?
Yeah. And it's just this thing, right? We're doing all right, right? I'm not going to turn this into a big football podcast. There are football podcasts aplenty and some good ones. And by the way, can I just say, while we're talking about football podcasts, I've just started listening to that Peter Crouch podcast.
Oh, is it any good?
It's very, very good. But I was a little bit annoyed with it this week.
Why?
Well, because it's number one on the iTunes podcast list.
Yeah.
Right? Under the comedy section, which is where hopefully this lands. I don't know. Somewhere there. Right? And they started talking about something that we were talking about on this podcast first.
Hang on a minute.
So last week I was talking to you about goldfish in plastic bags.
Yeah.
This week on the Peter Crouch podcast, he was talking about goldfish in bags at fairgrounds. I thought, hang on a minute, they're number one. Where are we? We're not even in the top 10.
Yeah.
We're not even making it in the top 100.
He's encroaching on our game. Or encroaching.
It's a yellow card.
Yeah.
It's a yellow card at best.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I'm not going to turn this into a football podcast because there are plenty out there. But it just struck me this week. If you know what I'm talking about, we were in the Europa League. Which means Thursday nights become stressful, you know, which I hate. I don't want Thursday nights to be stressful. Saturday, Sundays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, fine. Not a Thursday, and certainly not a Friday night football. Don't give me two other days that can be stressful. But anyway, and we went out in injury time, didn't we?
You did.
And the away goals were all. And because we can't bloody defend corners. I mean, I don't know what it is with when I first started getting into football, when I was about 9, about 1986, the George Graham Arsenal, I mean, we could defend anything.
And what's this new trend I see with, I think especially Arsenal doing it, this goal kick thing where they keep passing it straight to a defender.
Oh, that pisses me off.
And then the defender inevitably loses it immediately.
I mean, we did it a lot under Unai Emery, right? And it was one of those things that just annoy me, because don't play out from the back if you haven't got the players with the quality to do it.
I remember seeing Arsenal get stung with it quite badly
to the point
where the opponents scored.
More than once.
And they carried on doing it.
I know. I think,
learn your lesson.
Well, no, this is what I was thinking about with football this week. Are there things about your club or your team that really annoy you?
There have been.
And when you go through phases, like, so Arsenal, we've gone through a very long phase. It was the same under Wenger for several years. Well, we just can't defend set pieces. I don't know what it is. We let two goals in the week from corners and we lose on the away goals rule. And this playing from the back, I don't know if we're doing it as much under Arteta, but certainly under Emery. I used to turn it off the
really?
moment the goalkeeper would roll it out to, I don't know, Socrates or the first, oh, here we go, how long till we lose it, and then we'll have to make some save or we'll go one down. Just annoys me.
There are things about the club, not really the players or the way we play so much, but there's a few little things that bugged me. One of them has now been resolved, thankfully.
Which is the Michael Jackson statue.
That's gone. Nothing, I'm not even making any comment on Michael Jackson or his personal life or anything like that, but just having a big statue of Michael Jackson in our stadium.
And it wasn't like even a bronze,
no,
classy statue.
It was tacky shit.
It was a gaudy,
yeah,
full colour experience, wasn't it?
And it just made us a laughing stock. And it made us, you know, some people have certain opinions about Michael Jackson, and it made us, you know, a victim to a lot of chanting about him. So. Speaking of chanting, that's another thing that bugs me.
Yeah.
We went through a phase a while ago. We're doing all right this season, but of not being very good, especially away from home. And one of the chants would be, how shit must you be, we're winning away, whenever we went 1-0 up. And that always backfired. And it also became...
A cheeky chant, though.
A cheeky chant is good, but that one began to just be a bit too real, you know? And the other one is, and again, it's the fans. Sometimes they'll have a habit of teasing specific players on the other team.
Yeah.
I remember once going to a Fulham-Liverpool game, and I think it was around the time Emil Heskey was playing, and the Fulham fans all piped up singing, if Heskey plays for England, so can I. And then he scored.
Yeah.
And you think, oh, shit. Please stop taunting specific people, because they're going to come back and bite you in the arse.
The other thing about fans, right? So Arsenal fans, they're a fickle old bunch. I mean, most football fans are. But when you watch an Arsenal game, particularly on the telly, and even when you're in the ground, you know, it's the crowd are very... I don't know what it is that... Like, there's not the passion sometimes that you feel in other grounds from other clubs.
No.
You know, even when a goal is scored at the Emirates, it's a very subdued thing. And I think Arsenal have always been like that. Highbury was called the Library.
Highbury, yeah.
You know, and I think Arsenal have always been like that. And don't get me wrong, I've been to games where that hasn't been the case and the passion and the atmosphere has been fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
But what really annoyed me, I was watching a game, I think it was last weekend, and, you know, Granit Xhaka...
Yeah.
Who was our captain, and he had a bit of a strop earlier on in the season, and the fans turned against him, and it looked like he might leave the club. But under Arteta, he's kind of revived his Arsenal career a little bit, and he's playing really well. And I was watching this game, and there's still enough to hear on the telly, enough Arsenal supporters booing him when he gets the ball. And you think, just... Leave the guy alone. We need every decent player we can get.
It depends, though. What did he do?
What, when he had a go at the fans, I think he was substituted, and he had a little pop at the fans as he walked off because he was getting abuse.
You can't do that.
But he's turning it round, mate. He's turning it round.
Did he apologise?
Yeah, he did. He did.
Did he mean it?
Well, yeah.
That's the least convincing.
Yeah. But I just think, don't boo him. Because he's not a bad player. And if he leaves, and I mean, we can't afford to be losing good players.
Well, it's hard, you know, if people, your average punter who's, you know, works a shit job that they don't like,
yeah,
who scraped together a little bit of money to go and support their club, and then some prima donna tart on thousands of pounds a week has a go at them. You just think, fuck off.
No, I get that. I do get that. But it just pisses me off that he's sort of turned it around. It happened much earlier on in the season. Let it go. You know, concentrate on other things.
Football fans are rarely forgiving.
Well, that is true.
Yeah.
That is true. Just while we're talking about football.
Yeah.
As a kid, did you ever play Sabutio?
I never played it right. I don't think I ever... I got one for Christmas one year, but I didn't really read the rules, and I didn't really know how to play it or what I was doing. So
Why didn't you read the rules then, if you didn't know how to play it?
Oh, I was impatient. I never read the rules or the instructions to anything. I just get it out of the box and want it to work immediately. So I just sort of flick them about and not really know what I was doing and make up my own little game and play that.
Well, that's fine.
Yeah.
That's fine. Well, I love Sabutio. I got most of what was going. I had the Astro Pitch. you know, not the cheap pitch. I got the Astro pitch. I got the fencing around the ground. I got the spotlights, you know. And the trouble, the only thing with it is I could only set it up on the dinner table. So it was a real pain in the ass to set it all up with the fencing and everything. And then to have to take it down about an hour later. So that was the only thing about it. But I liked Spirit, but I was shit at it. I was absolutely dreadful at it. And my mate was very good at it.
Right.
So I would never win a game at it. The only time I would win is when I was playing against myself.
And but that means you also had to lose.
Yeah, that didn't bother me though. And the weird thing is, whenever I played, I was always Arsenal, and it was funny how Arsenal always won.
Mm.
It's like my mate, right? Who I used to play Sabutio. He won summer holiday. He set it up and he played all on his own. He played a World Cup.
Okay.
Right. And he always said to me, you know, I played it fairly. I played it all fairly. Now, he's Irish. Guess who won the World Cup in his Sabutio World Cup?
I'm going to say Ireland.
Yeah, yeah. But he played it fairly.
Of course he did. Right.
The last time we played a game together, when I got it out of the back room, sort of, you know, it was all put away in the cupboard and it had been there for years. And I got it out probably about 10, 15 years ago. And he beat me 10-1.
Wow.
I was absolutely gutted, and I've not played it since.
At least you got the consolation goal.
Yeah, well, I was glad about that. I think he might have even gifted that to me. And yeah, just because he felt sorry for me. The thing was, I could never get the accuracy with the flicking of the ball.
No.
Because you get 3 touches, I think it was, with each player. And I like, again, when you watch professionals play it, when I say professionals, there are people that there is like a Sabutio championship.
I'm sure there is.
And when you see that, the game speed is incredible. But when I was playing, it was like one touch, have a think. It was like a game of chess almost, you know. My mate was very good. He didn't really ever force the issue, as it were. But I just wasn't very good at it.
No?
No, I could just never get the deftness of touch.
And no amount of practice would help, no?
Not really.
Okay.
No, I got quite good at chipping. That was the one thing I got quite good at, because that just meant power.
Right.
Yeah. And I always used to flick the goalkeeper well out of his area. And then he'd be, you know, stranded in the centre circle, and then I'd lose a goal always. But I learned something about Sabutio this week that I'd never known before.
Go on.
It absolutely blew my mind.
What's this?
Right. So, as you know, I'm not fully employed at the moment.
Mm.
So I work probably, depending on how much work I get come in, maybe 2 or 3 days a week at the moment.
Okay.
Right. So I have a lot of time to kill. I'm like a retiree at times. So I end up watching a lot of really shit daytime telly. And this week I ended up, I wasn't really watching it. It was just on. Right, one of these antique shows that are on.
Okay.
Where they have to go around and antique hunt or something.
Bargain hunt? Cash in the attic?
Wasn't bargain hunt. I think it was antique hunt.
There's not a program called antique hunt. It's bargain hunt.
No, I'm sure there's another one called antique hunt.
No, there isn't.
Right.
Stop being naughty.
No, I'm not being naughty. I'm sure I'm going to look it up.
Okay, I'll Google it now.
Okay, you look keep it talking, up, I'll right? Look it up. And spell it properly.
Yeah, but I will.
Because otherwise, I'm not looking at the images. Right? I'm sure it's called that. So I'm watching it, right? It's basically 2 celebrity, or no, I don't know if they're celebrities.
There is as well, The Great Antique Hunt.
The Great
BBC One.
There you go, I told you, right? So you basically get these 2 people that are often on all the others, and they have to go around and buy stuff in antique shops. And this week, they're in one shop, and there's some guy who's selling a whole load of Sabutio teams from about the 1970s, right? He's got a whole load of them.
Okay.
And he says, oh, they were mine when I was a kid. And then the guy says to him, so what are those then? And he says, oh, those, now get this, mate, this is just incredible. Those are the Sabutio Streakers.
What?
And I was like, this is incredible. I've never heard of this before. Surely he's taking the piss. Because the camera didn't pan to them. You didn't see them.
I love that. So even on the Great Antique Hunt, they're still employing that rule that you don't show streakers on the TV.
Yeah, yeah.
Love it.
So you didn't see them. You just heard the man talk about them, right? And then it kind of moved on because they ended up buying a couple of the teams. And I thought, I've got to look this up because I have never heard of this. And they exist.
Now, I've got to ask a slightly anatomical question.
Well, please do.
How graphically accurate are these streakers?
Well, look, the thing is, I can't tell you, except for I found an article that says Sabutio streakers are a real thing and they are anatomically correct. the pictures they have, and they are available on eBay, and even on eBay they are censored.
What?
They've got little sort of stars over the private... You can see it's the woman's bust is on show, but the...
bust. What century is this?
But the antique hunt isn't. and the bloke has got a star over his... you know, over his tackle.
Are you telling me I can't find an uncensored picture of this?
Well, you probably can. I haven't looked that hard, in all honesty.
You've never been that bored.
I just wanted to find out whether they actually existed.
That's amazing.
And they did, and you could get a couple of policemen as well, and you could put them onto the pitch. And then apparently there were rules around that bit of the game. So presumably, I don't know what the rules are, but you and I thought these were quite old as well. I thought these must have come out in the 70s, but apparently they were released in about 2004. I don't think they were an official Sabutio thing.
I love that there was rules when they entered the pitch.
Yeah, I don't know what the rules are, but I'm tempted to buy them, and they're about a tenner each, the streakers, and get the old Sabutio out and have a go.
I reckon the way it has to work would be that you would flick the streakers around the pitch, and then you'd flick the little policeman after them.
Yeah, yeah.
And only if the policeman makes contact with the streaker can the streaker be removed.
Oh.
Like he's been tackled to the floor.
Yeah, that might be it.
But what the point of it would be, I have no idea. Like, if you manage to catch the streaker, how does that affect the score? What happens?
Well, I wonder if you can get a player. Perhaps if you've got a player and you can tackle the streaker as a player, then maybe you get an advantage up the pitch or something. I haven't looked at the rules yet.
Can Sabutio end in a draw?
Yeah.
So maybe if the game ends in a draw, then whoever won the streaker mini game gets the win.
So rather than have a penalty shootout,
yeah,
you have a streaker off.
So, Trev, you know the other week we were talking about the big fight?
Fury
and Wilder.
Wilder. Oh, by the way, I should probably, at this point, just say something that I never thought I'd say.
Oh, go on.
Because, you know, I'm not a fan of Fury.
You've changed your mind.
Well, I read this week that he'd donated his winnings to the homeless.
That wouldn't surprise me. I think he's done it before.
So, yeah, I feel a bit bad slagging him off a little bit.
And his winnings, if it's, I don't know how much, if it was all of his winnings, but we're talking millions and millions of pounds.
Yeah.
That would have been.
So, all right, he goes up in my estimation a little bit. So I take back a little bit, just a little bit of what I said.
Good.
And also, I caught a little bit this week of this show that's been on. I think it was just following him around before the fight.
Okay.
And he was, I only saw about 5 minutes of it, but he was having a bit of a barney with his wife about schooling.
Right.
And that was quite interesting.
I need to watch that. I haven't seen that yet.
Yeah. I mean, 5 minutes was enough.
Well, but, I just wanted to go back to it because there's been a bit more information come out that I didn't know.
Okay.
Because you know Deontay Wilder lost and lost badly.
Yeah.
Well, up until recently, I always thought the worst excuse in boxing had always been and forever would be David Haye blaming his broken little toe.
Of course,
on why he lost. That has been trumped in a way that I don't think it can ever be beaten again. Deontay Wilder, you know, he wears all his big costume and mask down to the ring.
Does he? What do you mean, costume and mask?
It's kind of hard to explain.
Is it like Raddy gloves, a Superman cape, and a Lone Ranger mask? Because if it is, I'm all for it.
There is a mask. I can show you a picture and you can try and describe it.
Oh, wow. Okay. It's a bizarre thing, isn't it? It's got like skulls on the arms, and it looks like a sort of, you know, like a I don't know how to describe it really, like a transformer, or
it does look a bit like a transformer,
or you know, it's kind of got your like Iron Man,
yeah,
but he's got skulls on the arms,
quite like almost armored mesh almost,
yeah. He's got like a big circular shield on the front with W on,
Wilder.
He's got a big crown on,
yep.
And a mask that, yeah, looks like sort of chainmail almost.
Yeah.
And the lights around his eyes that are red.
So basically, he said that one of the reasons he felt he lost to Tyson Fury so badly was because he was exhausted by the ring walk. The walk to the ring, right, wearing all his own fucking uniform.
Well, don't wear it then.
Exactly. You're a big, tough heavyweight boxer.
How heavy is this thing?
Oh, God knows. Apparently, he was knackered by the time he got in the ring. But so I just think it's the worst excuse.
It's a terrible excuse. Surely part of your training, if you're going to wear that, part of your training would be wearing that.
Also, how do you explain, Mr. Wilder, that you've worn similar garb on that walk to every other fight you've ever had, and you had like 40 knockouts in 41 fights?
Yeah.
So what happened then?
I didn't know costumes were a thing in boxing. Like, when did that become a thing?
Oh, it's been a thing for years. They've always done elaborate entrances and stuff. Prince Nassim used to come in all sorts of costumes.
But did he? I always remember them, like, they'd have like a dressing gown on.
You're forgetting Tyson Fury was carried on a throne to the ring by a load of women.
Well, yes, I'd forgotten that bit, but I'm sort of talking about when I was a kid and boxing was on, and they would just come in. They might still have walk. I don't even really remember walk on music. They probably did, but they would have like a dressing gown on, and that would be it.
I don't think it's a dressing gown.
Well, all right, a smoking jacket. I mean, what? How would you describe it?
Just like a robe.
A robe.
But Ricky Hatton, famously, he got a lot of stick for his diet being poor. People calling him Ricky Fatten.
Yeah.
He once walked to the ring in a giant fat suit of himself.
Did he?
Yeah.
Was that like
dancing to the song of Ricky Fatten?
And was that like one of those inflatable sumo suits?
Yeah, but sort of almost designed to look like him, just a much fatter version.
But that's not going to be very heavy. That's an inflatable.
That's largely air.
Yeah. Whereas he's got something on that looks like a fairly substantial costume.
Yeah, but he put it on.
I'm not arguing the point. I'm just, why is this costume thing become a thing? I mean, I can get it in the wrestling because that's just pantomime.
Oi.
No, it is. It's just made up stuff. But boxing, I don't understand where this has all come from.
No, it's all part of the show, isn't it?
Because I've noticed this in a lot of sports where the walk-on has crept in, and I'm sure they're never used to. So obviously darts now.
Snooker as well, that's guilty, but they all get their own songs and stuff.
Yeah, so they do it in the darts. They have the big MC doing the big walk-on, and then that takes forever. Takes forever because they go down the aisle high-fiving people, and you know, I'm sitting there thinking, just get on with it.
Yeah,
just
you don't
get on
need
with
it, really.
I mean, when you're there at the darts, it don't kind of builds into the atmosphere. But when you're watching on the telly, you think, oh, God,
get on with
come
it.
On. Yep. Snooker, I've noticed they do it.
So what I'd love to know is the worst sporting, or any actually, reasons for failure or just terrible excuses. What's the most famously bad excuse? If you've got any out there, send them in because I'd love to see them, because I don't think that will ever be trumped, being exhausted by your own kit.
Okay, I'll tell you the other thing that I like is, we were talking about football earlier, like injuries that aren't sport related.
Oh yeah.
So like, there's some really famous ones, like was it Darius Vassell? He used a drill or something on his toenail and hurt himself.
Why did he do that?
I don't know what he was trying to do. There's some story there.
Professional footballer taking a drill to his foot.
Yeah, but there's loads
of... What the fuck was he doing?
I don't know, but there's quite a lot of these around, like footballers that have just done daft things, or like I think there's one quite recently, a goalkeeper or somebody who dropped a tomato ketchup bottle on his foot or something.
Didn't you tell me a similar story about someone? Was it the same story about someone? You definitely told me someone dropped mayonnaise on their foot.
Well, no, I think there's two. There's one fairly recent one, and I've got this memory, and I always thought it was Perry Groves, but I don't think it is. But there's a footballer years ago, we're talking probably 90s, who famously dropped a jar of mayonnaise on his foot at home or something, and then was out for weeks.
I always get very edgy when footballers score, and they're very athletic and they do the sort of triple backflip. I think if you break your leg landing that stupid backflip, you're going to feel such a mug.
I do have a memory of watching somebody injure themselves doing it.
Oh, for goodness sake.
No, I'm sure once I was watching a match and the guy did the backflip and pulled a hamstring.
You'd dock his pay, wouldn't you?
You'd be furious, the manager. Well, you're absolutely furious. Can I just go back to walk-on music?
Yeah, sure.
Can I just tell you that I was watching, again, I've got a lot of time on my hands at the moment sometimes. And a few weeks back, I was watching...
Oh God, wait for it.
Don't judge me on it too harshly. The World Indoor Bowls Championship.
What are you doing?
Was on, and they have walk-on music.
For bowls?
Bowls. They have walk... It's all quite... I wouldn't say... It's not like old music, but it's slightly sedate in terms, you know, in comparison with the darts.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can't have rock star walk-on music for bowls, can you?
No, but there was one that's sort of like disco, you know, a bit sort of hip-hop or whatever, yeah. You know, and I thought that was weird, because you look at the audience, they're all well in their 60s and 70s.
Is that the same event that Sean Williams, yes, and Barry from EastEnders, yeah, opens up by singing Mustang Sally?
Well, I think it's the final, because I do watch bits of it every year. Oh, I tend to often watch bits of it. I just find myself watching it. One year I really got into it, I'll be honest with you. There was one year where I watched pretty much all of it from about the second round or whatever it is, and I was following this one player, supporting this one player who got to the final. But yes, Sean Williams, is it Williams or Williamson?
Williamson, I think.
Sean Williamson, Barry from Neighbours.
EastEnders.
From Neighbours.
What is wrong with you? Got his name wrong and the show wrong.
No, I don't know. He was in some shit soap anyway. And yeah, and he came on, I think it was the start of the final, and sort of launched into Mustang Steady.
Yeah.
And it was one of those, it felt really awkward. Mm. It felt like he wasn't really getting the response from the crowd that he might have expected. You know, you're talking to a lot of retired. I mean, half of those people aren't going to get through the final. So this week we had Pancake Tuesday.
Yeah, we did.
Or Shrove Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This is probably the proper name.
Yep.
The religious side of it. Do you celebrate it?
No. I don't. I don't like being dictated to by silly days as to what I'm eating.
So does that mean you don't take Lent seriously either?
No.
Because the idea is you use up all the sort of stuff that you're going to not have during the 40 days of barrenness in your life.
No, me and the missus, we are doing it sort of. We've decided there's something we haven't had yet that we're not likely to have for the month, which is orange juice. Not big orange juice drinkers, so we're giving up that for Lent.
It's not really the idea to not... I'm going to have something that I wouldn't normally have. Goes totally against the ethos of Lent. You're supposed to have something that you really enjoy. It's sort of a penance.
Nah.
No?
Give up something I don't like. It's far easier.
Oh, I'll tell you what I've given up.
What's that?
A caviar. Yeah, I've given that up for Lent.
Good man. That's the spirit.
So anyway, we had Pancake Tuesday. By the way, is that just a thing we have in the UK? Because it's a religious thing. Is it something that is... I never hear of it anywhere else.
No, I don't know, actually.
We've got some listeners in America. Can you let us know whether you celebrate Shrove Tuesday?
Yeah, or do anything for Pancake Day, or have a Pancake Day.
Yeah, do you have a Pancake Day? And what do you have on the pancakes? Because, by the way, I'm going to be telling you about something in a pancake in just a minute
that okay.
is unbelievable. And I'm not just talking about, like, because in America you have pancakes for breakfast, don't they? That's like a big staple breakfast thing.
Yeah.
But this is, like, when I was a kid, I mean, I'm not a massive fan of pancakes anyway, but when I was a kid, we would have pancakes once a year, and that was on Pancake Tuesday, and we'd have that instead of dinner.
Really?
Yeah, we'd have a couple of pancakes each, and that was it.
I saw someone else talking about this, like you'd have it for your main course. I thought, No. If you're going to have pancakes on Pancake Day, you would have your regular dinner, then you would have pancakes for pudding.
No, not in our house, mate. It was your dinner and your pudding. That was it.
No. Bad pancake etiquette.
Well, again, this is the thing. Let us know at Chef and Ben on Twitter.
Well, they're clearly a pudding.
Well, are they? Well, we'll see in a minute.
All right.
We'll see in a minute whether it's a pudding or not. Right. But first of all, I just wanted to run this by you. I mean, I don't know how much time was wasted on this, but there's a police force, the Surrey Police Force, used pancakes in a very novel way this week.
Okay.
They put images of wanted suspects on pancakes.
Why?
The words they used were asking the public to help whisk them away.
That seems quite disrespectful to the victims of these people, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what sort of crimes they had committed.
Yeah.
Maybe they were pancake-based crimes.
A battery.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, this is weird. They got... I don't believe this person exists, by the way. I think they're taking a piss here, which I think if you're the police isn't good.
No.
I want to hear truth from my police officers.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Because it said, we've asked crepe artist, which, I mean, you don't need that sort of critique, do you?
No. Be called worse.
I mean, and if there are crepe artists, which clearly there are, because they put these faces on pancakes, how do you discover you can do that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, what you just pissing around one day, making a pancake? You think, well, I wonder, you know, if I pour the batter there, I can make that. Because you know when people say, I've seen the face of Jesus in my pancake, it might just be someone who's a crepe artist.
I'm assuming you'd need a stencil and a blowtorch.
I suppose so. It's a bit like those things. I got one once. Well, I'll be honest with you. I gave it to someone once and then got it back the next Christmas as a present.
What?
Yeah, right. This thing called Holy Toast. Ever heard of that?
No.
It's a stencil outline of the Virgin Mary, and you stamp it on the bread. You toast one side of the bread, and then when you flip it over, you put you press down, and then it makes the outline of the Virgin Mary in the toast.
Okay.
So I bought this for someone as a joke present one Christmas, thinking, oh, this will be funny. I got it back the next year as a joke present.
Did they realise they were re-gifting
it? No, I don't think so.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
And I didn't say anything. I'm waiting to see how I can hand it on to you next. You might find it comes up in your Christmas present next year. So yeah, maybe it is a stencil thing.
You should try and give it back to them again. Yeah. Let's see if they notice.
I don't know if they would. Then it'd just come back to me. Maybe every year we can just like just ping pong it.
Exactly.
And see who's the first one to blink and use it. So anyway, they got crepe artist. This is where I'm beginning to doubt the validity of this, because his name was Philippe de Pan.
No, it wasn't. They're taking the piss. His name was not Philippe de Pan.
It does go on to clarify that he doesn't actually exist.
There we go.
And they created the images themselves. And they, so they basically put the pictures of wanted criminals on pancakes. I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't see that that's a good use of my tax money. I live in Surrey. Presumably my council tax goes towards the police. Just put a wanted poster up, a good old-fashioned wanted poster. Don't be pissing about putting faces on pancakes.
Well, let's give them the benefit of the doubt. Maybe they didn't spend taxpayers' money. Maybe it came out of someone's pocket. You know, let's give the police the benefit of the doubt.
We were talking about football chants earlier.
Yeah.
Do you know one of my favourite football chants?
Go on.
It was, I can't remember who the team were. It was on YouTube. And the police officers were walking past quite a large group of the football fans,
yeah,
and they were singing, "We paid for your hats, we paid for your hats, what a waste of council tax, we paid for your hats." One of my favorite football chants.
Love it.
Now, while we're talking about pancakes, do you know the radio sports presenter Ian Abrahams?
I do.
Otherwise known as The Moose.
I do, yeah.
Who's on Talk Sport here in the UK. And he's a bit of a broadcasting legend.
He is.
But he's also known for being slightly eccentric. Would that be fair?
I think so, yeah. I don't think he'd take offence to that.
No, but he is a legend. So he went a bit viral this week with his choice of pancake filling.
Did he?
Yeah, he took a picture of it and put it on social media. It was I brought some. I thought we'd give it a taste, see what you think.
Right.
It's nothing that awful.
Should I be nervous?
No, I don't think you should be nervous. It's just a strange combination.
What is it?
It's tuna.
Oh no.
Tuna on a pancake. Have you ever heard of that? Tuna on a pancake?
I haven't. That sounds vile.
Well, we've done a pancake. I've got your pancake.
Yeah.
And I've got some tuna, right? And I thought we'd give it a go to see what it's like, because it seems a very odd combination to me.
Anything else with it, or just tuna and pancake?
I think it's just tuna. I think it's just tuna. Oh,
I'm not sure I want to eat that.
What's wrong with you? Like tuna, don't you?
I do.
You like a pancake?
I do.
So therefore, it's fine, isn't it? I just thought we'd give it a go, because we might be missing something here.
I don't think so.
So I've got a nice pot of tuna.
Oh, it's going to stink in here.
Do you not like the smell of tuna?
Not when I'm podcasting, no.
Oh, I love this. Love the smell of... I do like the smell of tuna. I love the smell of tuna.
Okay.
So, you're nearer the pancake to me. Would you be able to put a nice helping of tuna on the pancake?
I mean, how generous was he?
Well, looking at the picture, quite generous. I'll show you a picture of it.
It looks, oh, bloody hell.
It looks quite packed with tuna, doesn't it?
Yeah. Oh, man, I'm not sure about this.
Now, come on, we did food tasting a few weeks back, and we tried far worse than this. This is just... Okay. This is more just a let's see what all the fuss was about, because people were very unsure about it, and I thought, well, it can't be that bad.
Did anyone else reply that they've tried it as well?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Smell.
Do you not like it?
No, I do like tuna, but...
What is it about the smell you don't... It does have that... I always feel when I open a tin of tuna that I am opening cat food.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I don't mind that. If cat food was just that, it's only because, you know, we would sometimes feed our cat tuna. So I've got that mental connection that I've made in my mind.
Yeah, about it. I'm not going to go too heavy with tuna.
Okay. By the way, I hope you don't mind the pancake I bought. I didn't make.
No, I've never had to microwave a pancake before.
I bought a packet of these pancakes because I thought to make one. Hey, I'm not very good at making it. I know they're very simple, but I'm not very good at making a pancake.
Okay, it's done.
Okay. So, I don't know, is it, do you have to roll it? Is that the way you do it?
I'm taking the smaller half. This is your idea. You get the big half.
Okay, all right. Well, you take that. It doesn't, it's not rolling very well, is it?
It isn't.
You're going to get tuna all over your carpet in this room. You might want to take the plate. Do you want to take the plate and taste it first?
Well, you're the guest. You get the plate.
Oh, right.
I'll just use my hand.
Okay, you've kindly brought up? No? Okay, all right. Well, let's give this a little bit of a roll.
Okay, I'm rolled and ready.
Okay. Now, the weird thing is, you see, I don't know whether he made any special savoury pancake, but this is a sweet pancake, I think. Right, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go.
Okay.
All right.
Oh!
It doesn't work, does it?
It's fucking disgusting.
No! No, it doesn't work, does it?
No, I'm going to be sick.
Are you really going to be sick? Actually, once you settle into it...
I can't finish this. People are going to hate this, by the way, listening to people chewing.
We've done it before. We'll do it again.
I'm not eating the rest of it.
I'm going to go for another little bite. When you've got the...
I'm so sorry if you're listening to this.
I'll tell you what's weird. Is
chewed on a pancake, weird.
I don't think I can have any more.
No.
I think I'll call it a day there. What is it you didn't like about it?
It's just two things that I do like individually, but should never be combined.
Is there any moment? Because for me, I got the first kind of weird mixture of not just taste, but textures.
Mm.
That's the weird thing, because you've got this sort of fluffy pancake, which, by the way, if I'd made my own pancake, would be extremely thick.
Yeah.
Because I can't make thin pancakes. I've never been able to. So you get this thin, fluffy pancake with the flakes of tuna. So that's a weird combination already.
It's your brain. It doesn't allow it. It says this should not be happening.
No.
These are two things that should never meet.
The only relief you get, really, if I'm honest, is when the sweetness of the pancake finally breaks through.
Mm.
Because as a mixture, they just do not work.
And now we've got to do the rest of this podcast talking to each other in a small room with tuna breath. That'll be lovely.
Well, there we are. That's just about it for another Trev and Ben podcast.
Just before we go, I know that sometimes we like to find fantastical news stories.
Oh, yeah.
I found one.
Okay.
My mate Andy sent this to me. It's so funny to me. I haven't read the story, though.
Okay.
Because I have this idea that if I read the story, it'll never be as good as not reading the story. The headline is so good.
Okay.
That I almost don't want to know. Because if you read the story, it probably won't be a bit of a letdown.
Because headlines, if you're a headline writer, you probably get this opportunity only once or twice in your lifetime, don't you? You know, so this is this pure gold?
We were told this bullshit in the radio industry that we have to do this really annoying thing to hook listeners.
Oh, God, yeah.
Say something at the top of the hour that's going to keep you listening.
Yeah, yeah.
This does that better than I could have ever done it.
Okay.
Although it kind of failed because I refused you haven't to read the story.
Well, yeah, so it hasn't worked, has it?
If you do want to hear the rest of the story, let us know and we might give you the whole story.
Yeah.
I have checked this. This is absolutely real. It's from the Independent website.
Okay.
It is a real story.
Now, can I ask you before you show me this?
Yep.
Is this just a really well-written headline or is it a headline that just reads in a way that perhaps it wasn't intended?
I think I'm going to let you answer your own question. I'm just going to pass you this and I want you to read out the headline for us.
Because one of my favourites on that line was one that said, there was a headline ages ago that said something like, government pledges to cut sick children in half. So I mean, that sort of thing.
No, I think the best thing for you is just read this one.
Okay, all right, let's have a look at it.
Here we go.
Okay.
Headline, please.
Okay, well... Children evacuated from swimming pool after prosthetic leg mistaken for paedophile.
Oh, dear.
Now, I mean...
What a headline.
I do want to read the story.
It'll never live up to that, though, will it?
Well, no, it won't. It won't, because it'll be really disappointing.
It will be.
How do you mistake a prosthetic leg for a paedophile. I mean, unless he's got a shell suit on and a cigar, you can't be sure.
So anyway, that if you want to hear the story, we'll probably go into it if we get enough requests.
Yeah, but, okay.
I think it's just left there, really.
Oh, that's amazing. And if you've got any other headlines that you come across, just share them with us. We're at Trev and Ben on Twitter. Get in touch with us about absolutely anything. We love to hear from you. Thank you so much for downloading and listening. Keep downloading and subscribing and reviewing and all that kind of stuff. And we'll catch you again next week. Take it easy.
Bye.